Nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear.
And I'll tell you something else, too, is I cannot stand sissies.
You're going to talk about wrestling, that's redneck talk.
And guess what, Fatso? I'm the world champion.
Hey, everybody, welcome to When It Was Cool Wrestling. This is the Dragon King Carl Classic Wrestling Audio Show. And in our rotation of classic wrestling shows, we are back around to the greatest kayfabe tournament here at WrestlingObserver.com, Figure4Online.com, and over at my website, WhenItWasCool.com. I do a rotation of classic wrestling shows. That keeps things interesting if you're not interested in this particular topic. Well, next week, we'll be discussing something different, and the week after that, and so on and so forth. And we rotate those shows, talking about some area, some corner of classic professional wrestling. The Greatest Kayfabe Tournament is a fun little project I developed a few years ago that brings us back to our fandom. That's what this is all about. So much, and to me, this has been I'm kind of saddened by this a little bit. Well, while I enjoy discussion about business and the inside aspect of pro wrestling, I mean, that's why I started subscribing to The Observer back in the 1980s. I've subscribed to numerous pro wrestling newsletters over the years. The Observer for the longest, for sure. I bought many, many dozens and hundreds, probably, of pro wrestling magazines, action figures, all this stuff. Not necessarily because I wanted to know, you know, what was going on behind the scenes. That just added to it because I was a fan of pro wrestling. And I think we oftentimes, especially nowadays in this modern era, we forget why we're fans. We follow the business. We follow the drama, especially right now. I'm recording this in 2023, and goodness gracious, Lord knows WWE is full of drama at every turn, and it's a very interesting saga to follow. But why did we become fans of pro wrestling to begin with? Because we like the characters. We like the stories. We like the matches. We liked, all the stuff about this very weird segment of popular culture where you have these super exaggerated character athletes performing a predetermined athletic contest that resembles a fight. Like, what's that? That's very strange when you compare it to other sports. But we love it. It's exciting. It's interesting. It's fun. Oftentimes mysterious. We love professional wrestling. And the Greatest Kayfabe Tournament is to remind us of that. So every time we get around to this show on Twitter, our Twitter account, and you need to follow us on Twitter, please do so. We have oftentimes far more people voting in this than are actually following our accounts because it's retweeted by The Observer. So if you see this pop up, please follow our account at WIWC Network. That's at WIWC Network. It stands for When It Was Cool Network. It's on the front page of our website at whenitwascool.com. And we asked the question. The hashtag GKT, the Greatest Kayfabe Tournament, is a joint podcast series between When It Was Cool and Wrestling Observer, asking the question, if wrestling were real, now not a shoot, but the characters as presented on TV were real, who would win? And we say this this is not trying to decide, oh, is this guy, in a MMA fight, a UFC match or something, would this guy win? No. It's the characters that's presented on TV, because we know that's the nature of pro wrestling. Okay, 90% of the time or more, when two wrestlers face off, we don't really know who would win in a street fight between those two guys, and we don't care. We're interested in their characters. This guy's character is a tough guy. Take a Stone Cold Steve Austin. Okay, this guy's a no-nonsense, take-no-gruff, just badass, right? And then there are other guys, like one of them we're going to talk about today, AJ Styles. He's a high flyer. He's dynamic. He's lots of motion, very fast guy, a very experienced wrestler. He's a very different character. So, who's going to win in a street fight? Who cares? We're talking about in terms of professional wrestling, and that's fun. That is why we started watching professional wrestling, is to see, to theorize who would win in these matches. So this, we're in round two. We're well into round two now, getting close to round three. Our two combatants for this episode are two very interesting individuals. Again, they're separated generationally by two different eras. One is maybe the most famous pro wrestler of all time. He is certainly the most successful, most popular action movie star of this generation, and maybe of all time. Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Yes, The Rock, he's still every now and then, every few years, he'll come out with a match. It was rumored this year he may wrestle this year. Now it's looking, unless something breaks in the 2 days, early I recorded this show, that something happens. It's been rumored he's probably not going to wrestle at WrestleMania this year. They've been talking and teasing a match between he and Roman Reigns for a long time now. Will that match ever happen? Who knows? But they've been teasing it. But The Rock's around 50 years old or so. I think he's a year or two. He's either my age or a year younger. So he's right around 50. He's reaching the apex of him being able to do this and still at a level that one would expect and one would hope. Now, The Rock is obviously, to steal the moniker that Scott Steiner used, The Rock's a genetic freak, okay? Most normal human beings don't look anything like The Rock. The Rock has been able to look like and just a superhuman action figure for many, many years longer than he should have, and still does. If you saw Black Adam recently, he's in incredible shape, no question about it. So, the character of The Rock, very interesting, very exciting character, very fun character, got by on a lot of charisma, a lot of snarky smack talk. He was one of the greatest promos of all time. I mean, just one of the best of the history of pro wrestling. Now, in the ring, he wasn't necessarily super exceptional, okay? He didn't do any one thing. Like, he wasn't just an epic-level brawler or an epic-level technician or an epic-level high flyer. He did everything just well enough. I mean, he was literally, if you were creating the Rock character in the video game Total Extreme Wrestling, you would choose entertainer, okay? That's what his style is. He's an entertainer. He's also a big, jacked-up guy. He's undoubtedly, big, tall, strong. That's his character, okay? So that's kind of limits him in a tournament like this where they're not going to have a promo off or something. This isn't a battle of the promos. This is an in-ring battle. The Rock and his opponent is AJ Styles. AJ Styles is older than most of the current wrestlers that are out there right now. He's 45 years old. He'll be turning 46 in June. So he's just a few years younger than The Rock. So they're almost contemporaries, but they're not. The Rock's career was relatively short because he transitioned to Hollywood, while AJ Styles' career has been exceptionally long. He's wrestled for a long time at a very high level. Now, in the ring, AJ Styles, if you just look at if this were a video game, AJ Styles' stats would be off the charts, right? I mean, he's a tremendous high flyer. Very good in-ring wrestler, better so than he's given credit for. He's really given, the focal point for AJ Styles is on his high-flying moves, his dynamic moves. But I've always felt like he was a pretty darn solid mat wrestler as well. And he's a guy who has, despite this tremendous, very dynamic high flying, has managed to keep himself relatively uninjured throughout his career. Now, at the time I'm recording this, yes, he's been injured, but it's been a rarity in his career. He's largely stayed pretty healthy despite doing this very, very, very dynamic match. So, when you go on Twitter, when I put this poll up, you, the listener, get to vote. I can't vote in these polls because you can't vote on your own polls in Twitter. So I put this up, and we had a real good response to this one. This was one of the higher responses we got, 219 votes. And the winner of this match, 61%, I don't think it's any surprise, The Rock beats AJ Styles in our greatest kayfabe tournament to advance. Now, why do we think that is? Well, I go to what I recently created was this 201 greatest pro wrestlers of all time list. If you go over to whenitwascool.com, you'll find this. It's one of our featured articles. I released it January 1st of 2023, and it's already one of the most read articles in the history of our website. And it's not my opinion. I took over 30 sources, including books, newsletters, magazines, and historians, and I took their list of the greatest wrestlers of all time, averaged them together with bonus points for Wrestler of the Year, Hall of Fame, so on and so forth like that, and came to what I feel is the universal consensus of the 201 greatest pro wrestlers of all time. So if you go by that list and go by what the universal consensus is of these best wrestlers, this is the right conclusion. They are both in there for sure. AJ Styles come in at number 43. And that's great. I mean, in the top 50 of the greatest pro wrestlers of all time, that's a great spot to be. So the entry I wrote for him on the 201 greatest pro wrestlers of all time is AJ Styles. While John Cena was the most modern slash current era wrestler to appear on our list, AJ Styles is the youngest. At the time this list was released at the beginning of 2023, AJ Styles was 45 years old and still an active wrestler with WWE. AJ Styles is a two-time WWE champion, as well as multiple-time U.S., Intercontinental, and Tag Team champion. Prior to this, AJ Styles was a five-time NWA/TNA World Heavyweight Champion, and prior to that, a standout star on the independent circuit. Oh yeah, he also had that incredible run in New Japan Pro Wrestling, where he was a two-time IWGP Heavyweight Champion. So, if you think for 1 second that AJ Styles shouldn't be ranked this high on the list, then think again, and the experts realized it. And yes, AJ Styles is in the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame. So at number 43, a super respectable place to be. So where's The Rock? Well, The Rock came in at number 7. And this is what I read. And many people hear that and they're shocked. They're like, The Rock at number 7? He should be number 1 or whatever. Well, no. Look, at there's nobody in the 6 above him that a strong argument can make for The Rock being over, except perhaps Andre the Giant. Now, I felt Andre the Giant ranked too high on this list, but that's because he ranked so high in mainstream lists, because they recognized him. He's a very, very famous pro wrestler. I myself would have put The Rock above Andre, but, you know, semantics, right? That's what this list is here for, is to argue about, to discuss, to theorize about. The Rock came in at number 7, and I think that's about right. Any of these top 10 largely could be interchangeable, quite frankly. I wrote, Dwayne The Rock Johnson is probably the most famous pro wrestler in the world at the time this list drops in 2023, despite the fact he has only wrestled 4 matches in the last 10 years. That's subject to change in 2023. The reason is obvious. Despite going from the most popular wrestler in the world to the most popular movie star in the world, Dwayne The Rock Johnson has maintained his anchor to his pro wrestling origins, and his pro wrestling origins run deep. He is the son of territorial era pro wrestling star Rocky Johnson and part of one, if not the largest extended pro wrestling families ever, the Samoan Anoa family. While historians were tepid, though not dismissive, in their assessment of The Rock, he either topped or was very near the top of most of the mainstream greatest pro wrestlers ever rankings, and was one of the biggest stars, along with Steve Austin, during an era where the most people in history watched pro wrestling. And, of course, he also is in the Wrestling Observer Newsletter Hall of Fame as well. He should be. So I think this is a good outcome. I think it's about right. I really expected The Rock to squash AJ Styles, but many people, I guess, realized, you know, again, the the question of the tournament, if this were a match, based on how they're presented on TV, AJ Styles would probably do quite well. I mean, AJ Styles really, as an in-ring wrestler, is the more skilled of the two of them. Now, The Rock is the more genetically, physically impressive of the two. He is certainly the more charismatic of the two, although AJ Styles is more charismatic than he's often given credit for. But I think this is the right call. I mean, The Rock is one of the hugest stars ever. Let's talk about AJ Styles for just a moment here. His real name's Alan Jones, thus the AJ initials. In case, you know, I'm surprised how many people never realized that the AJ in AJ Styles is his real name, Alan Jones. So he was born in June of 1977, which again makes him 45 years old. He debuted in 1988, and he was one of those guys in the late 1980s. I was promoting independent shows in the late 1990s, 1998. In the late 1990s, I was promoting independent shows, and AJ Styles being from Georgia, while he didn't work a lot over here in Alabama, he certainly was well known. I mean, everybody knew who AJ Styles was. He had quite the reputation of being a future superstar, and as it panned out, he was very much so. So AJ Styles was a big star in the Georgia Independents and got a lot of coverage in the newsletters at the time. He got his initial mainstream exposure in WCW in 2001. So, yes, many people forget AJ Styles come into WCW in the time right before they closed down. And that was his first taste of the quote, bigger time. He gained prominence after signing with TNA, Total Nonstop Action. Now, of course, that's Impact Wrestling. And he is often described as the cornerstone of the company since its inception. And I think that's very accurate. He won the TNA World Championship twice, the NWA World Championship when they were using that as their top championship three times. He was the inaugural title holder of the X Division Championship, which seemed to be a belt designed explicitly for his style of pro wrestling. He won that six times, and was also the first NWA Triple Crown and Grand Slam champion. AJ Styles simultaneously appeared in Ring of Honor from 2002 to 2006, where he became the inaugural Ring of Honor Pure Champion. He first appeared for WWE in 2002, but just, you know, as a in sort of a tryout role. He declined a developmental contract back then and wouldn't be until 2016, where he returned, and he returned as a huge star and there won twice the WWE Championship. His at 371 days, his reign as WWE Champion was the eighth longest in title history. He also won the U.S. Championship three times, Intercontinental title, and the Raw Tag Team Championship once. And, he was super successful in WWE. But he's one of those guys who was hard to categorize. Like, there was a real conversation whether he'd ever get in the Hall of Fame, because so much of his career was spent either in the independents or your lower level national promotions like Ring of Honor or Impact Wrestling, without having been in one of the number one or number two promotions in the world. Would he ever be in the Hall of Fame? Well, his stock really rose when he went to New Japan. He is a two-time IWGP champion. I mean, he had a great run in New Japan. He was the his time in New Japan really is what I think catapulted him to WWE for that big run. I mean, he was so... It proved, I guess, to everybody, including Hall of Fame voters, that this guy is more than just a big fish in a small pond, is how you might sort of clarify his sort of run. Would he ever make a step to that next level, and would he be successful? And let's face it, WWE never really had a great track record in taking guys like AJ Styles and making them big-time successful stars. I mean, you can count failure after failure after failure, many of which are there now, who had huge reputations on the independent scene or even the international scene, who didn't accomplish, you know, half of what AJ Styles did since coming in from New Japan Pro Wrestling. His time in New Japan was, I'm trying to think how best to put this because it was really, I think, what sort of catapulted that whole New Japan sort of revival. A lot of people, you know, say Kenny Omega and Kazuchika Okada and all that, and that's true, very true, but the foundational, like, era of the Bullet Club and all that was back with AJ Styles and that whole era leading up to it that made that whole next level possible, where New Japan gained such, you know, huge, it really made a huge comeback. I mean, New Japan was for years at a very much lower level than it ultimately became, and I think they owe a lot more than people remember now to AJ Styles, just that AJ Styles has been in WWE for so many years, and then along came Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, and Kazuchika Okada, and that Hiroshi Tanahashi and that whole crew, and rightfully so, but the foundational blocks to the return were laid by AJ Styles, in my opinion. AJ Styles entered the IWGP Intercontinental Championship picture by challenging another current WWE star, Shinsuke Nakamura, to a title match, and then later was forced to pull out of the 2015 World Tag League after experiencing a back injury. AJ Styles returned to the New Japan Pro Wrestling ring on January 4, 2016 at Wrestle Kingdom 10 in Tokyo, Japan at the Tokyo Dome, where he unsuccessfully challenged Shinsuke Nakamura for the IWGP Intercontinental Championship. Hours after Styles' Wrestle Kingdom 10 match, it was reported that Styles had given his notice to New Japan Pro Wrestling on the morning of the Tokyo Dome, announcing he was leaving the promotion and signing with WWE. This would be his big opportunity. Would he, at this, you know, older age, well in his 30s at this point in time, would he, you know, silence the doubters? And as we know now, certainly he did. AJ Styles made his final appearance for New Japan Pro Wrestling, where the rest of the Bullet Club turned on him, along with Kenny Omega, to become the stable's new leader. So literally passing the torch to that next big stable of with Kenny Omega. So then, I mean, many of us remember the tremendous entry at the Royal Rumble that year in 2016, where he came out, and I think this, you know, I really wonder what AJ Styles' trajectory would have been had he not received such a outstanding ovation, such a huge pop at the Royal Rumble. People instantly recognized who he was, and I think it really showed the powers that be there at the time that, hey, you know, this is a legit dude. This is a legit star. And thankfully, they didn't just, you know, sit on AJ Styles like they have done so many of the lighter weight, high flyer type guys. No, he ends up, you know, as a push star and a multi-time WWE champion with one of the longest title reigns in history. So this was not a squash for The Rock, to be sure. And our tournament reflects that. So, you know, The Rock, when you're talking about a tournament like this, and you're talking about, okay, the realities of wrestling, it is sort of interesting to kind of see, you know, kind of try to explain The Rock, because The Rock is so much personality and so much look. I mean, he looks great. He looks like, you know, he's a big, tall, jacked up looking guy, you know, very muscular, very athletic looking. But, you know, in a lot of ways, it's sort of that same sort of Randy Orton syndrome. The guy looks like he should be a star. He's, you know, got a pedigree, like, you know, Randy Orton. You know, he's got family members in wrestling. His father was a wrestler. But where I've often said about Randy Orton, You know, he never failed to disappoint. Randy Orton, I love the saying, this isn't original to me, I heard it. Randy Orton did the least with the most. I think The Rock, really when it comes to his in-ring performance, I don't want to say he wasn't that great, because he was fine, but that's all he really was fine. He was a perfectly, like, why do you even describe him? He was a brawler, but when you think of great all-time brawlers, think about people like, you know, Bruiser Brody and The Undertaker and, you know, people like that. Mankind, Mick Foley for sure. And The Rock's not that. So you think of great technical wrestlers. Think of people on our list of the 201 greatest pro wrestlers of all time, like Lou Thesz and Danny Hodge and Billy Robinson. And The Rock's certainly not that either. He was very much a generic pro wrestler. I mean, like, that's what his moveset is. Generic pro wrestling. But he has so much personality. And if you have to suspend disbelief and you look at the guy and you envision him in the ring versus somebody else, yeah, he's got the Rock Bottom, which I guess is a fine enough move. The People's Elbow was a joke, and it was a comedy move to begin with. So it's not something that, if you really suspend disbelief and you really want to believe wrestling's real, it's not, you're not going to hang your hat on that. It's, you know, so how do you explain if you're, you know, if it's, you're suddenly transported back to 1950 and you want to, by golly, believe pro wrestling's real, how do you explain The Rock? He's an entertainer. He really is. But whatever he brings to the table, which again, you can't take away his size and strength, that is certainly something. But on force of character and force of charisma alone, I guess he beats. I'm just glad to see he didn't blow AJ Styles completely out of the water, because I don't think that would be fair to our tournament. But at the same time, in all fairness, if you're voting on this, you got to put The Rock above AJ Styles. I mean, quite frankly, this is the right result. 61.2% for The Rock, 38.8% for AJ Styles. That's about right. Going by our 201 greatest pro wrestlers of all time list, certainly the right result, with The Rock at number 7, defeating number 43 on the list, AJ Styles. So once again, the 201 greatest pro wrestlers of all time list proves to be correct. And that will advance him in our tournament. All right, so to keep up with this, you need to follow us on Twitter at WIWC Network. Or if that's too much to remember, go to the front page of whenitwascool.com. All of our social media links are there, including our Facebook page, our Patreon, all the links to our free shows on different podcast platforms. Hope you'll check that out. Go to whatever platform you listen to your podcast on. Type in the words "When It Was Cool." If you do that on Apple, do that on Amazon, Spotify, wherever, that will bring up 3 shows: When It Was Cool Retro Pop Culture, When It Was Cool Dark, and When It Was Cool Wrestling. I hope you will subscribe to all 3 of those shows to get our free shows. And if you like what we're doing, and we certainly hope you will, hope you'll go to whenitwascool.com and become a Patreon supporter, where we have over 2,000 shows in our archive right now for you to download and listen to, dealing with retro pop culture and lots and lots and lots of it on pro wrestling history. So thank you very much for listening. Support us at whenitwascool.com, and I'll see you here again soon with another show.
We depend on Patreon support for our website and podcast network. In order to continue these podcasts you enjoy, we need you to visit whenitwascool.com and pledge at least $1. You'll gain access to lots of exclusive podcasts, newsletters, and more. Sign up is quick, simple, and can be canceled at any time. WhenItWasCool.com, and click any Patreon link. Thank you.